Okay, is everybody ready to get in the Word this morning? Amen. Okay. Well, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 52. And we're going to start in Ephesians 6, and we'll end up in Isaiah 52 here later. And if you know, in between, we're going to have a lot of other scriptures as well, so you can take notes on the back of your bulletin there. And in fact, if you want to write down 1, 2, and 3, give yourself some space between 1, 2, and 3 on the back. We're going to talk about the shoes of peace today. And look at somebody and say, you got nice shoes on this morning. Got to look at them first, though. And if you ask any woman in this place today, and I know all the women will amen this, do shoes make the outfit? Yes, they do. Every lady will tell you that. Shoes make the outfit. Guys don't care, but ladies do. In fact, I was going to look up and I was going to Google this, and I forgot to do this. I was going to try to find out what the, in America, what the, you know, average, how many shoes does a pair of shoes does a woman have in her closet? And I have a feeling it's a bunch. Somebody Google that and we'll find out. But anyway, so we know, the ladies know that, does the shoes make the outfit? Yes, they do. And I'm going to tell you, I can remember when I was in high school, I might have been in junior high. Yeah, I think I was in junior high. And this will date me. And these kids over here can't even fathom what I'm about to tell you. But I grew up with 8-tracks. No, let's see. Yeah, 8-tracks. I grew up through started out in that era, and records and cassette tapes and CDs. Yeah, and you still have, and see, and I'll never forget when Taya was little. Oh, she was old enough to talk, and she saw her first record, and she looked at me and she goes, "Daddy, that's the biggest CD I have ever seen." Like, well, that's not a CD, that's a record. But I can remember growing up, and I can remember when the shoe Nike first came out. How many of you can remember that? And I'd wanted a pair of those Nikes, and at that time, you know, it was unheard of to pay, you know, $100 for a pair of tennis shoes. And I wanted a pair of Nikes. And now it's funny that Converse are like a stylish shoe to wear. But back in the day, Converse was what we wore for basketball. And they were the flat bottom shoe, and, you know, the high tops and the green canvas is what we wore here at Leedy. And I had a pair of those. And now they've come back in style. So, you know, you need to always keep all your stuff because they always come back around. But I can remember the first pair of Nikes that I ever wore here at Leedy High School was by Monty Ferris, and I wanted a pair of them. And guys, they were the, if you go back and look at the first pair of Nikes, they were the horriblest looking shoe. I mean, they were all white and had like this red swoosh down the side of it, and then they had like the blue line around the bottom, you know. And if you ever got them dirty, then you had to have the white shoe polish to clean them up and all that. But I remember Monty Ferris was the first guy here at school that had them, and I couldn't wait to get me a pair. But today we're going to learn how to put on the shoes of peace. I'm going to quit talking about, you know, there's all kinds of shoes we can talk about today. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and y'all know we've been in this series, and we're going through each piece of the armor and how it relates to us, and I hope that you're going to learn something today, how to wear these shoes and how you wear each piece of the armor to help you in everyday life. I like to teach the Bible like life application, that when you leave here, you can use this stuff today. Amen? And that's the way God wants us to use it, is what I feel like, by the way, too. But Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness." We talked about that last week. "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And we're going to talk about that today, the shoes of peace. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The key scripture that we're going to hone in on today is verse 15. It says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I want to explain to you about the Romans. Whenever the Apostle Paul is taking, you know, a Roman guard, a Roman soldier, and showing you all the pieces and how it relates to our spiritual life. In Romans, the soldiers, they had what they called their sandals, actually, is what they were, but they actually tied up to almost to their kneecaps. So they were high-top sandals. And then the bottom of them was 3/4 inch leather at the bottom. And then at the bottom of that, there was what they called hobnails tacked into the bottom. They were like cleats, basically, like steel cleats that you have in baseball or whatever. And those hobnails were on the bottom there so that when they were out in battle, that when they could stand their ground. They could actually stand their ground. And when they were in formation, it was hard to push a bunch of those big men over when they were standing their ground shoulder to shoulder. And I was studying this out, and when God refers to this, when the Apostle Paul, or God, the Holy Spirit through Paul, says these are the shoes of peace that he wants us all to wear, you're going to have these on to stand, guys, to stand your ground. Peace, the peace of God, is going to have to umpire in your heart to stand your ground with different things that are going on in your life. How many of you recognize that? Because when you don't have peace, you're going to be laying flat on your back. But when you have peace, you'll be able to stand your ground. And one of the things that the other thing why they had the hobnails on there for was whenever you heard a group of these men, I mean, you just think thousands of these guys marching, and they're marching on a stone street back in those days. Remember how we used to wear our steel cleats and you run across cement and how what that sounds like? Just think of 1,000 men coming across the stone, cobblestone kind of path or a street, and the sound that would make, that was very intimidating to the enemy. It was also an intimidation factor. So when you're walking in the peace of God, I'm going to tell you guys, you are an intimidation factor to the enemy when you're actually walking in it. And you don't even have to say a word. It's just in here. You got that peace. All hell may be breaking loose all around you, all kinds of chaos, family, friends, all kinds of stuff, but you have the peace in here. Man, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it in the world. And so as I was studying this week about peace, the peace of God, and how I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to present this to you, that's going to help all of us. It's been helping me, and it never fails, guys. When I'm studying something and trying to teach on something, God will have me walk through something. And this week I had to walk through something where I did lose my peace, and my wife heard it. And it was on a phone call with somebody that I was dealing with on a phone call to take a charge off of my card. And they kept trying to sell me. And I was just like, look, I don't want it. I just need you to take it off. And they wouldn't. How many of you believe in customer service? Okay, I believe in it. And I said, and I lost it, and my wife heard it. And I have this voice that when I raise it, it can go really high. And I just let this guy know, and I didn't use any profanity, so don't go, pastor said he lost it, so he cussed somebody out. No, I didn't cuss him out. You can actually lose it and not cuss somebody out. But I lost it and told this guy, and he finally decided I better do what he says, and thank God he did. But I was just like, and I got off the phone, and I lost my peace there for just a little bit, and I got off the phone, and I looked at my wife, and I said, honey, why can't they just do it the first time? Why did they have to push you to that point? And so here's the key. The enemy wants to push you to that point. And don't let him push you there. I got pushed there this week. I lost my peace for a little bit. But thank God you can get it back when you lose it. Amen? Okay. Here's number one. There's three different kinds of peace. That's why I want you to write down 1, 2, and 3. And the first one is the peace with God. Everybody say peace with God. Look at your neighbor and say, peace with God. All right. Here's what I'm going to relay. I'm going to relay all these to shoes, okay? Is the peace with God, as I was studying this and thinking about the peace with God, it's like your house shoes, your peace with God. How many of you got some nice house shoes that you like to wear? I do too, by the way, and I'm a guy, but I have some nice house shoes. And this happened several years ago, but my wife and my daughter, for Christmas one year, we have what we call the three wise men gifts in our house. This is going to have to change up because we've added somebody to our household this year, Cameron. But we would buy each other three gifts, and that was called a want, a wear, and a walk with God, and that coincided with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three wise men, the gifts that they bought, the wise men gifts. And so it was a want gift, a wear gift, something you wear, and then something that would help you with your walk of God. With your walk with God, it could be a Bible, a book, something, you know, something of that nature. Well, one year that my wear gift, they got me a pair of house shoes, and they're called Uggs. How many of you heard of Uggs? Okay, they're nice, yeah. They're very nice. In fact, I'm tempted to wear them all the time. And you may see me come up here some Sunday with my Uggs on. But I love them, and there's no better feeling than I have when I have peace is when I'm at my home, which is my refuge, my safe house, my castle, and I've got my Uggs on, and I got a cup of coffee, and I've got the fireplace going, and I'm reading a book, and I'm sitting in my easy chair. Ah, peace with God. The world is in, I'm in my happy place. And so your peace with God is actually whenever you have that relationship with God, that safe place. It's your castle. That's where you're at with the Lord. And I love this scripture. This is Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you have peace with God. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have peace with God. The enemy knows that, and so what he wants to do in your life, he wants to get you out of whack and get you out of peace. And this is how he does this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So what the enemy wants to do is to bring confusion, chaos, and disorder into your life to get you out of peace with God. Amen? Anybody ever had that? Oh, I've had that quite often. And here's what happens. Peace of God, remember, these are your shoes. And so when you have a wrong view of God, it destroys your footing. When you have a wrong, you know, this peace with God, if you have a wrong view of God, and I'm going to explain that. The enemy, what he wants to do with chaos and disorder and all the kind of things, he wants to separate you from your peace with God. And he does this by cultivating a wrong view of God. You know, and he'll start lying to you. Because this situation happened, God doesn't love you. Because this situation happened, he doesn't care. Because this situation happened, he doesn't want the best for you. And I've walked through all those guys. There was a time where I thought, you know, I went through that when our son passed away. I can remember vividly, and that's why it's such a revelation to me when I get up here on Sunday morning. It's not just a filler thing when I say God is good, and you say all the time, and I say all the time, God is good, because there was a time in my life where the enemy was trying to rob that from me and steal that from me, that peace that I had with God, that, hey, God's not good. And if he was good, your son wouldn't have passed away. Now, here's the deal. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. Unless we all repent, unless we all come to that peace with God, none of us are going to make it. We've all got to repent. We've all got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God, I had to go through a season there where God had to show me and teach me that, Mark, I'm still a good God. Jaden's with me. And I have to believe this by faith, guys, that if this is what I had, and I'm talking about years of walking through this with God. God spoke to my heart one day and said, Mark, if you could see your son right now, there is no way on my green earth that you'd want him to come back. But you can go to him. And I said, okay, God, I still got to trust you. That's where trust and faith and all those good things come in. So what, and I want to ask you this morning, what is your view of God? Is he a good father? And it's okay. It's okay. I went through a season there where I was mad at God. I was upset with God. Even though I knew better, I was kind of like the Apostle Peter, you know. Yeah, I know better, but the best way I can describe it is it was like working. My relationship with God for a season was like working for a boss that I didn't like, that I hated. You know, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But that's where I was at with my relationship with him. And finally, God said, "Mark, I don't want to be your boss. I don't. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a father and son relationship with you. And so you've got to, guys, and the only way you're going to get that peace with God is by spending time in his presence. What is your view of God? And you've got to come away with that. Until you come away with this, he's a good father, stay in his presence. Then continue in his presence, because he is a good father. And he's a good father all the time. And I know I'm looking at many of you in here that have walked through those same waters that I have. All right, here's number two. So first of all, we have to have peace with God. Here's number two, we have to have the peace of God. And this is a little bit different, because the peace of God is this. This is what I call your everyday shoes, the ones you walk in and the ones you work in. So you're going to have the peace of God on a daily basis. And this is John 14, verse 27, where Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We sang about that this morning. The praise team picked out some awesome songs this morning, because Jesus knew that we're going to face troubling times. We're going to face times we're afraid. But Jesus said, "I've given you my peace, and let my peace, I've given it to you, and I do not give it to you as the world gives. It's a peace that passes all understanding." So it's not God's will for us to live in anxiety, fear, and worry. These things make you lose your footing and lose your peace. And this is why, guys. 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." So anytime you're afraid, that's just an opportunity for you to fall in love with God all over again. Fall in deeper in love with him. And because God wants to root out all those fears, all those worries, all those anxieties. I love this scripture right here in Philippians chapter 4. It's another one that Apostle Paul penned. Is Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7. Says, this is what he tells us. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And then this is what happens. "And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I hope you all get that, because it's very simple. You're going to have, I'm not going to lie to you, and you leave here today and you're never going to have another anxious thought, because you're going to walk through things where you're going to have fears, you're going to have anxiety, you're going to have worry. But what you have to do in your mind, you have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and you need to do it right then, as soon as they come in there, and cast them down. And the Bible talks about, when he says, "Do not be anxious," that means you need to reject those kind of thoughts and those feelings that come. Then he says, then this is what you do. You pray about everything. What do you pray about? You pray about the things that you're afraid about, that you're anxious about, that you're worried about. You pray about those things. If you want to know how you pray, that's how you pray. You pray about those things. Prayer must become the atmosphere that we live in. I'm going to tell you something about Jade and I. Jade and I pray every day, and we pray about those kind of things. Whatever things that have come up, fear, anxiety, worry, anything about, you know, somebody else in our church family, stuff like that. We pray over those things. And God answers prayer. He does. And we're sitting here, I'm looking at somebody we've been praying for this morning, is Jennifer back here, who just had open heart surgery a week ago, you know, and she's here this morning. You know, and I went to her house the Monday after she got home, and, you know, and it's like you're surprised by your prayers. You know, we've all been praying for her. And we go to her house, and I really thought, okay, they're going to have a hospital bed. I mean, she just had open-heart surgery. She's going to have a hospital bed in her house. She's going to be laid up there in the living room and with tubes all in her and all this kind of stuff. And I walk in, and she's sitting up saying, "Hi." In fact, she gets up and greets me, and I'm like, good grief, sit back down, you know. But God answers prayer, guys. In fact, the doctor even said, "Wow, you know, you're a miracle, walking miracle." Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a hand clap this morning that she's here this morning. But God, guys, that God wants that peace to umpire in your heart like it's umpiring in her heart today, physically and spiritually. And you've got to pray about everything. We prayed. I went to the hospital, prayed with them over that. We prayed. God answered prayer. I can tell you about different things that Jade and I have been praying about, but that's what we pray about. When we get to, and Jada has told me this, guy, and this is a word to the men in here. Guys, I think the most loving, the most spiritual And I know all the ladies will shout amen when I say this, but the number one thing that you can do for your wife to draw you closer together spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, is pray with your spouse. But I'm going to tell the men to lead the way. And you're like, well, I don't know what to pray about, Pastor Mark, because I feel like an idiot. When I used to feel that way too. I was like, I don't know what to, I'm not a professional prayer. You know, people look at the pastor like, he's a professional prayer. No, you just talk to God about what you're anxious about, what you're fearful about, what you're worried about. You ask your spouse, what do we pray about? You know, and I'm telling you guys, it does something for your marriage. It's powerful. And in fact, Jada has told me on more than one occasion, she has said, Mark, I love it when you pray over me and over Taya and over everything that's going on in our lives, because that meets my need of security like nothing else. More than money, more than anything, that meets her need of security. So guys, pray with your spouse. And I'm not condemning you if you're not doing it, but start today. There's always, I had to start sometime too. I didn't have anybody teaching me this, and finally one day somebody mentioned that. Well, do you pray with your spouse? No, because she can pray by herself. No. You know, that was my thought process. And then you know how selfish that is? I mean, that's bad. And, well, no, you need to pray with her. And when you start praying with your spouse, guys, it's, I'm just going to leave it like this. It's awesome. In more ways than one. I'll just let you fill in the blanks there. All right. Here's the next thing is, give thanks in everything. That's the next thing you need to do. Give thanks in everything. And here's what I want to say is, I know we go to God with our fears, anxieties, and worrying, but there's some time in your prayer, and you may go to God complaining, murmuring, and criticizing, but somewhere in that prayer, you're going to have to change your heart and start giving thanks to God for everything. And then when you've prayed and you've done all these things, you've rejected the fear, anxiety, and worry, when you've prayed about everything and you've given thanks about everything, when you get away from that prayer time, then don't complain, murmur, and criticize what you just prayed about. And everybody said, amen. Because that's how you lose the peace of God when you do that. The enemy tries to bring those thoughts back and rehearse it and curse it and all those kind of stuff, and then you've lost your peace. Okay, does everybody understand that? The peace with God and the peace of God. All right, here's number three. And we're coming up on number three, and we'll look at the scripture in just a second. So we're going to write this down. Number three is peace with others. And we're coming up on Thanksgiving and Christmas. How many of you guys just have peaceful families? It's just total peace. There's not a hand raised in this place. Dad. Every family has drama. I've been a pastor for quite some time now, and what I've learned is every family is dysfunctional. Every family is. And that's what makes us family, you know? And that's what makes it unique and fun and exciting and all those kind of things. That's what makes you walk in forgiveness, all those kind of things. And so this peace with others, I was like, okay, God, I got peace with others. Those are my house shoes, because, you know, this is the preacher thing in me. Got to relate this to shoes. We're talking about the shoes of peace. And the peace of God, we got to have that daily. So those are our everyday working shoes, whatever we feel comfortable in. And I was like, what are the peace with others? And this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. These are your shoes of choose. You choose these shoes, okay? And this is what I mean, because I look at people in here, everybody has different circles of influence, your family, friends, where you work at, all those kind of things. And so every day that you get up, you know who you deal with that day, you know who you're going to be around that day. I mean, most of the time we do. So you're going to need to make a pre-made decision to walk in peace no matter what. So those are your shoes of choose. I'm putting on my shoes of peace today. I choose to put them on because whatever I encounter today, because I'm going to Thanksgiving dinner and Aunt Betsy's going to open her mouth, but I choose that I'm going to stay in peace in Jesus' name. This is true. This is going to help you this Thanksgiving and Christmas if you will make that pre-made decision ahead of time, because she is going to open her mouth. She is going to say, she does it every year. And every year you get offended. Every year you walk out of there ticked off. Every year you drive all the way home talking to your spouse how ticked off you are at Aunt Betsy. And it's because you didn't make that pre-made decision. That is so true. Yeah, thank you, Kenny. Kenny said, that's true. That is so true. It is. So every morning, these are the shoes of choose. You're going to have to choose to put them on. And Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Here's what I want to be, guys, and I think if everybody would make this decision, the world would be a peaceful place. I want to be, and I'm not saying that I'm Mr. Perfect and I do this correct all the time, but I want to be the person that wherever I go, I bring peace. Amen. And that wherever I go, that people actually want to see me coming. Amen. Instead of not running away and saying, oh my God, here he comes. He's the one that just stirs up the drama pot every time. I don't want to be that guy. All right? And so that's the kind of the pre-made decision that I'm talking about. And so here's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Everybody say, bear with each other. Here's another translation for you that can also be translated, put up with. Put up with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Don't let it just make you just feel at peace when you read that. I mean, that's powerful. But in the Bible, peace, what I found out in reading the Word of God, peace is not just the absence of strife. And here's a Hebrew word for you. You're going to learn some Hebrew today. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Look at somebody and say shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace. And that word means this. It means harmony, it means health, and it means wholeness that are to mark a believer's relationship with himself, with God, and with others. And that phrase, bear with each other, like I just said, it means put up with. And you know how you do that? How you put up with somebody? You use the F word. Forgiveness. I stole that from another preacher one day. A good friend of mine, Pastor Cody Anderson, we were having a, every month, and we just had ours this week, we have a pastor's meeting, and he brought a video to us, a funny video of in a black church where they're preaching it up, you know, and this black guy's preaching, and everybody there is not thinking of forgiveness, they're thinking of the other F word, and that's the title of his message, use the F word. And he says, he was up there preaching away, and he goes, call up your ex right now and say, F you. And it was supposed to be forgive you. And I was going, yeah, everybody's thinking bad things this morning. Forgive. I had to tell you where that came from. Some of you back are going, I can't believe he just said that. I was saying forgiveness. Shame on you for even thinking that. Yes, okay. And see, and this is why I want to make this point, because some of you now are offended at Pastor Mark. But being offended, listen to this, being offended all the time makes you lose your footing and lose your peace. And there was times, guys, I mean, I would get offended, you know, and I'm telling you what, being in life, I don't care what you do in life, but it affects you, guys, it affects your peace. And there was a time it was affecting my ministry where when I was standing up here, somebody was offended at me, I couldn't minister effectively because I was offended, they're offended, I've taken their offense, I've taken the bait of Satan. And I was just like, God, if it's going to continue like this, I want to get out of the ministry because I can't handle this getting offended all the time. I'd hear, and it was like the enemy would send people across my path to say, hey, did you hear what they said about you? And I was like, I really don't want to know, you know, but then they would tell me anyway. And I'm like, my gosh, now I'm offended. And I wasn't even offended at that person until they told me what they said. And so, you know, and it was just crazy. And so being offended all the time makes you lose your footing and lose your peace. And that's what the Lord ministered to me and said, Mark, you're going to have to quit being offended, and you're going to have to choose not to do that. I mean, I wish the Holy Spirit could just deliver me from offense, but it was God was telling me, Mark, you're going to have to choose not to do that, because that's the bait of Satan. He's been using that bait for eons. He's been using that bait for ages, and he's tripped up many a people, but you're going to have to choose not to do that. And I had to choose that. And some of you, this Thanksgiving and Christmas and every day at your job or whatever, you're going to have to choose not to do that. You're going to have to choose not to become offended. Here it is. Here's your scripture to live by. Here's your refrigerator scripture. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I'm just going to tell you right now, these shoes of choose, it's a big thing, guys. And there comes a time, there came a time in our family, with working with different people over the years and different churches and stuff, I finally had to start saying this, and this is the best thing that I've ever seen. I've had to start saying, this is not my circus, and this is not my monkeys. These are not my monkeys. Basically saying, this is not my drama that I need to get caught up in. Because I found out, being in the ministry, and I know you guys are like this too, and I don't want always to say it's just all people in the ministry, because everybody's like this. I was like, the enemy was constantly pulling me here and there. Well, you need to go put out this fire. You need to go put out that fire. You need to go put out this fire. You need to go put out that fire. And I realized, I'm not a fireman. You know, I'm not a fireman. And there are some fires I'm not called to go put out. Amen. They need to go through that fire, because God didn't cause it to happen, but because of their choices and their deal, they're going through that fire, but God's going to teach them something through that. And I can't go over there and deliver them out of it. That sometimes they just got to go through it. And so sometimes you just got to back off and pray for them and love them. Here's what I like. Love them from afar. Love them from afar. Oh. I heard one pastor say, you need to put them on your lot list. L-O-T, your lot list. How did he say that? Yeah, lot list. Love them over there. Love them over there. That was it. Love them over there. I had to figure out what that acronym stands for. Love them over there. So sometimes you just got to say, not my circus, not my monkeys, and I'm just going to say no to drama. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I pray that you are learn something today about the peace of God. And If you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor Mark, I don't have the peace with God. Well, you're in the right place at the right time. You're here by divine appointment. And all that means is, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so that you will have the peace with God. And that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. And then you're going to leave here today learning how to walk in that peace, the peace of God. And then also that vertical relationship that you have with the Lord is going to reach out to others. And so you're going to start having that peace with others as well. And so I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And even if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you have the peace with God, I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins, and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. Mark, I want you to come on up here, Mark Ward. And Mark's going to dismiss us, but I want to pray over you guys today. I'm going to pray the peace of God over all of us, okay? Before we leave here today. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you for this word today. Lord, I thank you that we're going to leave here with our shoes of peace on, God. And Lord, we're going to walk out of here with peace with you. We're going to walk out of here with the peace of God upon us and in us, God. And then, Lord, we're going to walk out of here going into wherever we're going today, God, and this week, and also with family and all the gatherings that are going to be happening with family and different things. But, God, we're going to take the peace of God with us and take that peace to others, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that people that we come in contact with are going to start seeing that peace upon us, and they're going to ask us, how can you have peace at a moment like this? And it's a door opener for us to tell them about Jesus and about the good news of the gospel. And so, Lord, I thank you for your peace today, and I thank you that everyone here today has learned something through your word today, and they're going to leave here today with peace umpiring in their heart. Yes. And God, we give you praise for it, and we thank you so much for the Prince of Peace, for your son, Jesus. And we pray all of this in his name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Mark's going to come and dismiss us this morning.
Thank amen. You, give the Lord a hand clap, guys. That was awesome. I'm going to tell you something, what I got out of that right there. Whoa, good stuff. Who got offended this week? Who got offended today? Who's getting offended more and more as this crazy world gets too available to us? Amen. That's what it said. Socially, social media, everything that we're doing, we're in a state of constant offense. That's what God spoke to me during that message, and I've just got to shut it off. We all do. Because all that can counter that's the peace of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something about Pastor Mark. What you heard today was the realness that I've been in ministry with him, grew up as my best friend, watched God take hold of his life. I thought he was strange at first. I thought something had happened to him I didn't understand, and I didn't. But what was great about it was I want to be like him too. I want to carry the peace in my own life, my own family, and all those things. But I tell you what I gain about him, when you leave here and when you're around him long enough, you're going to find a man that's just straight up real. You heard a real man talk about real life today in a way that we can understand it. Down to earth. God wants a relationship that's not falsified, that's not covered up, that's not mixed by anything other than the realness of who you are. And that's what I love about Pastor Mark in the ministry is walking in forgiveness is hard, but I learned that, and I have to get real and forgive myself as well as forgive others. My biggest victory in my life, my own testimony about what he spoke about today, I had to forgive myself. So I would say that today you need to forgive yourself too. It's okay. God loves you. He wants you to go forward without being offended anymore. Amen. And I love that about Pastor Mark, because somebody here, because at first it, I don't know, Pastor Mark, I got to go on. I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm really on Pastor Mark today, but he's real, guys. I've been in the foxhole with him many, many times, and it's a real man that loves God, and that's what we all need to be and not fake, or not just putting anything to cover up who we really are. And that's the greatest thing about the teaching of this ministry is that God made a real man that Mark Ward needed. I needed something real. Amen. Okay, so I'm gonna speak this blessing over us, and was that a good word though? Well, I'm gonna leave here different today, and that's the one thing God always tells us. I want to encourage you. The people in your life is not the enemy; they are people you need to pray about right now and call them in the name of Jesus. Because you got friends and relatives and people that need to know God, and what can you do? Just stand in the gap and pray for them. Amen. And God's gonna bring them in. It's up to God. It's not you, but you can pray for them, and you can speak it in your heart, and you can be there for them, all right? So every time that we dismiss or we leave church, remember, it's gonna offend us too. It's not just about you today. When we can flip that and leave here knowing it's about other people that we have relationship with, then our hearts begin to change, and God's gonna do a work, okay? I'm gonna take off and preach. Sorry, Pastor. So I wanna speak the blessing, if you will. Just we're gonna pray, and I'm going to speak this blessing. Father God, we come to you, God, in Jesus' name. I'm so thankful that I'm forgiven today, God, because even this week I don't deserve you, Father. I don't deserve your grace. And that's why you're just such an amazing God in my life. I love you, Lord. I thank you in my weakness. You're strong. And for all of it, that goes for all of us today. We thank you, God, that you're a good God. And we heard a great message, and it was real today. Father, just that we leave here, God, that we come against these offenses that the enemy's waiting to trap us with out there, and we just change our lifestyle, God, in Jesus' name. I believe we need to put the phones down, God, myself. I'm hearing that. Then I need to change what I watch and what I put inside my heart and my mind, based on today's word. I need to get a different perspective of what's real and what's fake and who the enemy is and how he's trying to change my peace, because I need it, God. So today I pray peace over your people, and we're going to speak this priestly blessing over your people, God. It's in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Great day. Give the Lord another hand clap before we leave. That was awesome. Awesome word.